All right, we've been looking at kingdom timing. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. The right idea at the right time works. The right idea at the wrong time fails. That simple. The right idea at the right time will always work. The right idea at the wrong time will always fail. Ask Leonardo da Vinci. Okay? Ask him about that. Now, we're looking at this series, and we're looking at some review here. Let's do some review. Yesterday, we talked about the life is in the blood, Hebrews 9, 9 through 14. We know the circulatory life, fluid of the body is the blood. The fluid that produces unity in the soul in Genesis 9, 4. All right. Just making a small adjustment here on the board. All activity of the body is dependent on the quality of the blood, in that too, and the quantity. Without the shedding blood, there's no forgiveness. True sacrifice is linked with blood, and wine is called the blood of grapes. Leviticus 17:11, Hebrews 9:22, Acts 15:29, Genesis 9:4-6, Matthew 27:5, Habakkuk 2:12, and Genesis 49:11. Okay, now, let's give you something that we want to review again, that the lamp of the body is the eye. You know, absolutely. Matthew 6:22-23. The conscience is the window between the heart and spirit that allows one to develop human moral awareness that judges an action right or wrong. The conscience. Now, we talked about this at length yesterday. There are two hindering spiritual forces set against our conscience. Okay? The first hindering spirit is one that deals with the family iniquity to hold bloodlines captive. Right? That's the spirits that deal in the family. You ever hear saying, he's just like his dad? She's just like her mother. Okay. Now, sometimes that's a lot of good. You know, she can cook like her mother. She can sew like her mom. She can do those type things. And that's good. And then same thing with the father. He's like his dad, you know, fishing and hunting and working and woodworking, stuff like that. But there's something more involved here, See, this spirit works within families in the bloodlines and hold them captive. Seen this many times. What do you mean? Well, it's simple. It's simple. Okay? Father was an alcoholic, son was an alcoholic, grandson's an alcoholic. See, it's family lines. You can trace the family history back, and you see that, right? That's one fluid that infects our conscience. Secondly, it's familiar spirits applied to constant association and cluster of iniquity. All these soothsayers and 1-800 psych lines and going for readings and tarot cards and witchcraft, which is very popular today, Wicca. I mean, it's on and on it goes, casting curses. All right, that activity comes from familiar spirits. Usually, when I encounter some of these people, and they talk and I realize what they are and where they're going, I'll usually say this. Excuse me, tell me the name of your familiar. And their head goes back. Tell me the name of your familiar. They don't want to do that. I'll tell you why. Because it's powerful, tremendous advantage when you know the name of the familiar spirit. Why, is that in the Bible? Yeah, it is. Jesus, depart from me. What's your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. You understand that the name is so important. Biblical names are so important. I love to look up the names. That's another subject for another time. But it's so important. The names are so important. So these familiars have names. And those familiars work in the realm of witchcraft and the supernatural in a negative way. They're familiar. This is your mother talking to you. And all of a sudden, that person, that's my mother. Sounds just like the person's mother. Where are you, Mom? I'm over here in the beyond. That's Mom. And by the way, did you know the cake that you enjoyed? It's so good. How would they know that? That's a familiar spirit in operation. All right? That's yesterday. Now here's today. Finish strong and starting into a new phase of stronger. There comes a point in our lives where we have to become stronger in the Lord. How? Leave the trauma of the past behind. Leave the trauma of the past behind. Every day, just don't get caught up in yesterday. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, thinking about the one that passed and remember the pictures. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about trauma of the past behind. Some people never get past an event that happened to them in their past. They never get beyond that. Because, well, how do I know? Because they talk about it all the time. I know some people that have never gotten past certain events. They sit and they muse. I'm not talking about if it happened yesterday. I'm talking about years. They still go back and they still muse. It's like breaking your arm when you were 5 years old riding your bicycle, and you sit down and you still think about it. You say, well, that's elementary. Yes, but it's a good example. Or something occurred in school. Some teacher did you wrong and you'd made a bad grade. Still think about it. Well, that's trivial. Yes, but it brings us to leave the trauma of the past behind. Number two, begin to worship in a new and fresh way. Begin to worship in a new and fresh way. Now, you think about that for a moment. Same kind of worship, same time, same thing all the time. I'm going to say a statement. You don't eat the same food every day. I know you don't. I'm tired of that. Had that yesterday. You don't think God is the same way? That he hears his people worshiping him exactly the way they worshiped him last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, well, here they go again, saying the same words. The Bible talks about it, repetition, repetitious prayers, repetition. The Pharisees did that. Same old repetition, every day, every day, every day. That's why Jesus, one of the reasons he said the Spirit, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, not vain traditional repetition. See, that'll get you into a place when you begin to worship God like that. There'll be a freshness in your life because, number three, decree a new wave of the Holy Spirit will overtake you. That's some of the things I'm doing in the ministry. A fresh, new anointing will overtake your spirit. Now, let me tell you something. Yeah, folks are going to get mad. I can feel the rebuttal. It's okay. Maybe it'll help you. There's certain songs that they have an anointing on them, but the anointing is only so high. Let me just give you some information here. Don't get mad now. Listen, learn. There's some songs, and I'm just going to use some numbers here because we can understand that pretty regularly. This anointing on this song is a five. Just again, the number five is just an example to help us understand what I'm talking about. It has a five. When people hear it, it takes them to a five. Every time you hear it, it takes you to a five. It's a five song. That anointing hits the ceiling. You get the same response from the church. You get the same response in the praise. You get the same response at a certain song. All right? It's not going to take you any further. Another song will take you to a 10. The place goes up in smoke. The power of God falls. People are healed and blessed and delivered while that song is being sung or played or listened to. It's a 10. And every time that song is played, something happens. The anointing on that song is, again, as an example, easy to understand, a 10. So the first song's a 5, and the second song's a 10. Meanwhile, sitting out there is a song that's a 25. Song that's a 25. Because of our tradition, we will not go near that song because it sounds different. I've had people say, I don't go to a certain church. How come? Because their music is not like the church I grew up in. Okay, so the church you grew up in had a certain anointing in that service. Yeah, it did. And it only goes so high. Yes, it did. And it was great, wonderful, tremendous. Let me tell you something. The anointing you had 10 years ago is not going to be enough for the anointing you need today. We live in a different world. Different world. The anointing when I was a kid is not the same anointing I want today. Even though it was marvelous and great and the heritage is there and I love it. Because the world in which I face today is a whole lot more complex than the world in which I grew up in. And that's true for all of you too. So decree a new way of the Holy Spirit will overtake you. Number four, declare that the seeds you have sown will sum up and manifest increase. You have sown seeds in your life. You have sown seeds in the kingdom of God. It's not only, you know, when you talk about that, people say, well, talk about money. No. Seeds in the kingdom of God. The whole kingdom of God runs on the seed and sowing principle. Do you know that? Seeds in the kingdom of God makes the difference. You want a crop, you sow seed. You want corn, sow seed. Your prayers are seed. That's right, your prayers are seed. You're seeding the heavenlies. You never probably thought of it like that, but that's what you're doing. You are seeding the heavenlies. God, I'm seeding the heavenlies for my family. God, I'm seeding the heavenlies. God, I'm seeing things happen because I prayed. That's the seed. That's a seed that's never lost. You sow seeds of healing. God, I am sick. We're going to play for that today. I am sick. I sow seeds of healing in my life. The whole kingdom is based on seed sowing. You can't have a child without seed sowing. Can't have a child. You can't eat your steak dinner tomorrow without a seed being sown somewhere from a bull to a cow who produced a calf that produced seed sowing, right? We understand that. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, oh no, we don't want to do that because of the misunderstanding about seed sowing. I know people go off the deep end. You go off the deep end about anything. Golfers go off the deep end. Baseball off the deep end. I mean, everything can go off the deep end. Business off the deep end. I mean, everything can go off the deep end. So come back to center. Come back to normality. And everything, listen to me, everything that is in the kingdom of God comes by seed. Everyone. People say, well, I'm out telling people about Jesus. Wonderful, you sown seed. Yeah. I'm giving to, we sown the seed in Tonga. Yeah. I got some pictures today. My heart just leaped at what I saw. See, we sow seed. Somebody gave some money to the ministry so we could go and send it to Tonga. And they went out and they bought a refrigerator freezer they need so desperately in the Maranatha Children's Home in Tonga, South Africa. Yeah! They gave the money. Somebody sowed a seed to the ministry in Tonga, and it ends up a refrigerator freezer so those kids can eat up there. Wow. See how that works? Declare the seed you have sown will sum up and manifest increase. They'll begin to flow. Next one. Receive the angelic host that will lead you into a new dimension of breakthrough. People talk about, well, things aren't going to get better and this. You need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. Somewhere along the line, a breakthrough is necessary. A breakthrough is needed. There has to be a breakthrough in someone's illness. There has to be a breakthrough in someone's finances. There has to be a breakthrough in someone's family. There has to be a breakthrough in the prodigals. The angels will help that. They'll lead you into a new dimension. You can be led by the Spirit of the Lord, and the angelic host will help you. Let the healing flow, next one, of God. Let the healing flow of God burst forth. I'm going to pray here in a little while for healing for somebody. Let the healing flow of God burst forth. And then declare your resources will multiply. Why not? Why not? Why not? I ate some grapes yesterday. All right, grapes. Margaret bought some grapes and I've been eating them. I love grapes. And those grapes are from a vine. And that vine was in the ground. And that vineyard developed, and there comes all the grapes. Had some corn last night, too. I like corn, one of my favorite vegetables. All right, let's talk about that for a second. No one's going to argue that that corn came from an ear. And that ear was attached to a stalk. And that stalk had a seed. No, there's not one person going to argue that. But out of that one seed in the ground came a stalk of corn. And out of that stalk of corn came the ear of corn. Am I good so far? Have I lost you somewhere? And out of that ear of corn came hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kernels of corn. And that some of those kernels ended up on my plate. And I put some butter and I put some salt and I put some pepper on them. And they were fantastic. They were wonderful. They were great. I love it. Love corn. I like popcorn. After I teach to 1 o'clock in the morning on Fridays, and I've been up about 18 hours, okay? After I teach about 1 o'clock in the morning on our 10:30 services, 10:45 Eastern, our services internationally, I go in the kitchen and I grab some popcorn and I pop the popcorn. I don't know how many seeds of popcorn is in that bag, but I love it. I put salt and I put butter and I just sit there and eat about 2 o'clock in the morning popcorn. You've been asleep for hours and I'm eating the popcorn. All right, now listen to me. Those kernels in that bag came and was processed from an ear of corn that came from a stalk of corn that came from a seed of corn. Here's what happens. You put the seed of corn in, it grows a stalk, grows the ear, and the resources are multiplied. Have you ever asked God to multiply your resources? That's something for you to do today.